Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Spring is here, and you're already seeing the grass growing in your yard before the first cut of the season. How do you get ahead of the weeds and get the most out of your homegrown gardens? Well, we have curb appeal experts here to take your questions. Danny Alexander is a landscape architect, and Linda Jones is a professional gardener and urban farmer. If you have questions about your lawn, weeds, grass, flowers, fruits, vegetables, herbs, and the like, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Danny and Linda, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
It's going to be a blast.
Yes, it is. Yes, it most certainly is. Well, since it's going to be such a blast, Linda, I am going to start with you. As I said, the first grass is growing this season. What should people be doing right now?
Watching out for the perennial weeds that will come. Many are already here. Just try to get ahead of them, pull them from the root. Try not to use pesticides or herbicides on your grass.
What is a perennial weed?
Weeds that come back every year, such as the famous dandelion.
Right.
It's an herb, but people want to eradicate it because they think it's a weed. There are several perennial weeds out there. You see them. There's some are henbit. They're purple. They look like flowers, but they're not. And some people call those herbs. But if you don't want them in your yard, anything that you don't want is considered a weed in most places.
Now, see, that's interesting because, Danny, as Linda just said, yeah, I have these little purple rocket-shaped flowers starting to pop up. Is that what she's talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly
what I don't like those.
Neither do we.
Yeah. So how do you get rid of those? Because there are a lot of them. And for busy people like myself, I am just not of the mind to want to go out and pick all 40 or 50 of them or 60 of them that I see now sprouting. So now Linda says don't use pesticides. So short of pulling them up, what do I do?
Well, I think it really starts with your basic lawn maintenance. So making sure you're aerating, and what Linda's talking about, you can do a weed transect to see what kinds of weeds are in your garden.
A weed what now?
A weed transect. It's where you take a strip of grass and you going along and look at what weeds are coming up so that you know how to treat for them. And you can take a more holistic or integrated pest management approach. But there are a lot of different ways to keep a lighter touch with the fertilizers and herbicides and things like that. Actually, PG County has a lawn clinic where if you organize your neighbors together, they will send somebody out and demonstrate how to take care of your lawn with fewer herbicides and pesticides.
Really?
And try to get a hold of them before they go to seed. Because once they blow, you'll have another patch next year.
How do you know when a weed is going to seed?
Well, catch it as soon as you see it. Because once it starts getting a bloom, maybe a week or two later, it's definitely going to go to seed.
So I'm already blow. I'm already in trouble.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, I'm already
for at least the next 7 years.
For the next 7 years. Okay, so you say don't use herbicides. Why not?
Kills off your pollinators. Butterflies, bees, they get a hold of it, they're gone.
Really?
And they're very important to maintaining your health in your garden.
Okay. So, but what about, okay, so if I'm the only one on my street that's not using herbicide, but everybody else is using weed and feed, so you say that's a no-no?
You shouldn't.
But the reality is that, you know, I don't think there's anyone on my street who happens to have the talent and the skills of either of you two ladies. And so if you are going to do that, what do you suggest? A weed and feed. What to put on my lawn to get rid of the weeds?
All natural. Look for something that's organic.
Such as?
You have a variety of organic products out there. I don't use a lot of them, but I go with the, let's see, I can't remember the full name of it. There's so few, but I go for organic.
Just go for organic.
I don't use them a lot, so that's why I'm like, I can't remember the names of most of them, because I use mostly natural ways of getting rid of weeds.
Okay.
The other thing that I would add is that you can look into replacing your lawn with other types of ground covers that are native, such as Carex, which is a sedge that looks like a longer lawn, but requires a little less maintenance. It's perennial. And I'd also say you could replace some of your lawn with native perennials.
Yes.
Okay, now hold on. I just want a nice lawn with grass, okay? Because even what you said, it's called sedge? Or
mm-hmm. So there are three things that when people see grass, they call it all grass, but there are grasses, there are sedges, and there are rushes. Sedges, and they're, yeah, we're getting into the weeds here.
Yes, we are, ba-dum-boom.
But sedges, they look very much like a grass, but they're a native alternative, and they do really well here. You can find them in a variety of colors as well. They range from kind of more bluish green to variegated varieties. Mm-hmm. And they give you kind of the appearance of a grass lawn, a little bit longer because you don't have to cut it. But then you're also not, you know, using the types of, like, petroleum products in order to, you know, run your lawnmower and things like that. So,
I don't want to get into an eco-friendly conversation.
Okay.
Let's be honest here. Mm-hmm. Nobody is going to do that unless you have time. And I'm talking mm-hmm. about working people. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about people who have one day a week mm-hmm. to deal with their lawns. Okay. And yeah, I don't cut my own lawn, and I don't cut the postage stamp in the front mm-hmm. or the 5x7 patch in the back. I just don't have time. Mm-hmm. But I do have somebody to come along. So will a sedge hold up under lawnmowers?
Oh, you don't need to cut a sedge. But here, to your point, mm-hmm. I find that people who really want to get their lawn well established, mm-hmm. one of the things that is better in our climate is to do your seeding in the fall. Because a lot of people, they're like, okay, it's spring. I'm going to go out and buy my feed and seed bags where the seed already has the fertilizer mm-hmm. in it. They throw it down. It comes up. It gets too hot. It all dies. And you should definitely patch spread seed to, you know, cover some of those holes.
Okay.
But if you start getting in a routine each year of, you know, doing your aeration and weeding in the spring and then doing a good seed cover in the fall, you'll start to have an easier time of maintaining your lawn. You don't have to worry as much about, you know, getting into heavy fertilizers, really trying to get it to establish.
So for those people who missed the fall seeding, what do we do now?
Wait.
So have an ugly lawn this spring and summer?
Whatever you do, don't plant a southern grass, Bermuda grass here, because it'll be brown in the winter. You need the K31 tall fescue for this area.
Okay, hold on. What kind of medical procedure did you just share with me?
It's the grass seed for this region. You don't mm-hmm. want the southern. You don't want the southern grasses here, because if you notice, some people will mix the seed.
Mm-hmm.
And part of their lawn is green and the other part is yellow.
I see.
And the hotter it gets, the greener the Bermuda grass gets. And
So what should they use?
Just a mixture of a K31 tall fescue seed.
K31 tall fescue.
It's a fescue. That's a brand that I used to use. But
okay.
It's a fescue brand.
And the fescue is a type of grass.
For this area.
I see.
It's a seed mixture for this area.
Okay. I need help. Let me go to my listeners. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Teresa calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Teresa. What's on your mind?
Oh, my grass, I don't have any grass. It's all weeds. A guy came last year, he said, I'm going to cut your grass. He said, no, that's not grass, that's weeds you have. I don't know what to do at this point. I mean, I can't dig up the whole yard, because it seems like the whole yard, I need to dig it up.
Okay, so what does she do? She has a yard of weeds, a field of weeds.
I mean, it might be the case that she really needs to go through and, you know, have a kind of turnover to disturb the seed bank. Because, you know, once they take hold, like Linda was saying, you've got them in there for the next couple years. So, you know, I would definitely get an experienced crew to help you with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how do you do that? How do you fix that?
Well, in terms of, you know, finding a great landscape contractor that can help you do that, there are a couple different resources. You can look on Angie's List or Thumbtack, and there are a lot of people that kind of specialize in lawn care.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people that can really help you, you know, get a weed problem under control.
But even if they have somebody who comes along to prevent Teresa from perhaps having more done than she needs, what should she know so that when she decides to hire someone to do that, what should she see them do?
I would say they should be aerating the soil in this season. There's a lot of times what happens is the soil gets really compacted and the fine roots of the grass can't establish themselves any longer, but those really hardy weeds, they can really like dig in there and take hold. And so that aeration in the spring, especially here with our clay soils, that can really help kickstart, you know, your maintenance program, get you back on track to have a nice lawn, good grass.
Okay, and so aerating and then planting what?
Seed.
Okay, so they would aerate. Kind of give me some steps.
If the seed isn't working, she may have to go to sod.
Okay.
Sod takes a little bit long to establish, but it's a lot thicker. It's already the grass growing on a mat.
I see.
Depending on how much land she has to reseed, sod may help. Maybe a little costly, but it will get it better established than trying to do the seeds, because sun and shade also play a big role in how well her lawn is going to get established.
Mm-hmm. And that was my next question. You did say that it can be a little pricey. How much lawn do you have? How much space do you have, Teresa?
Maybe an acre.
A half acre?
Seed.
Yes.
Okay. So you're saying they need to come in, basically dig up, aerate, and then seed.
Yes. At the proper time of the year, because they're ideal times to plant seed. You don't want to do it after mid-April.
Yeah, it just won't take anymore. The other thing that I would say, Teresa, is definitely do a soil test. There are a lot of at-home soil tests that test for the pH in the soil, the nitrogen, phosphorus content, which has to do with the nutrients that get taken up by plants. You know, if you see something off, so your lawn should be somewhere between 6 and 7 in the pH, just slightly acidic. But if you're coming up with, you know, really basic or really depleted in nutrients, that'll help you figure out what to do next, whether you need to do some soil amendments to get that lawn back on track.
I see. Okay. Teresa, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Real quick, there's a garden party tomorrow. Is this tea and crumpets and fascinators for the ladies, or are we talking about?
I wish.
Yeah, right.
I should plan a different outfit for
Yeah,
tomorrow.
How about that? A green fascinator. What's happening at the garden party?
So Linda's participated for 4 years. This is my first one, but it's hosted by Community Forklift. And Community Forklift has architectural salvage and a bunch of interesting things that you can find there. But tomorrow is their annual garden party, and there's going to be workshops. There's going to be a beekeeping workshop, as well as I'll be giving a lecture on sustainable home landscapes. And there's also catering, and people are, you know, rummaging through all the stuff that's been stockpiled. It's going to be a great time.
Okay. And that's going to be when and where?
I think the doors open at 10 and it closes at 3 p.m. And it's at Community Forklift.
At 4671 Tanglewood Drive, Edmundston, Maryland.
Right. It's off Riverdale Road.
Okay. All right. I'll make sure that information is posted on our website tonight after 9 o'clock on WHUR.com. Daniel, calling from D.C. Yep. Thanks for calling, Daniel. Quickly, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I have a tall fescue lawn.
Mm-hmm.
But it's being invaded constantly by Bermuda grass. And is there a way to control the Bermuda grass?
Ideas?
You've really got to dig it up. I mean, like Linda was saying, it's not a great product for this region. And you've got to just rip it out wholesale.
Mm. So they mean recultivate the entire lawn?
Well, it's not so much that you can't spot treat it. If it is, then, yeah, I would be, you know, aerating the soil. Bermuda grass is one of those grasses that can handle that really compacted soil. And, again, making sure your lawn is well aerated so that the roots can develop of the fescues that we want is really important.
Hmm. Okay. Daniel, thank you so much, and good luck. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking tonight about making sure that your lawn and your garden is ready for spring and summer. We have experts Danny Alexander, a landscape architect, and Linda Jones, a professional gardener and urban farmer, and also probably going to be starting a new career as a comedian. And
that's my other side.
That's your other side job. There you go. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. If you're having difficulty getting in, please keep trying. I promise we're going to be taking as many calls as we possibly can, even after 7:30. And all of the information that you're hearing now will be posted on WHUR.com via the podcast. So Anissa calling from Annapolis, Jason calling from Northwest, and Carol calling from Silver Spring. Stay with us. We have plenty of information for you. We're also going to talk about gardening as well, fruits and vegetables and herbs and all of that stuff too. So it's just not grass and weeds. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU, and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher, and we're getting ahead of the weeds and getting the most out of your homegrown gardens tonight. We have curb appeal experts here to take your questions. Danny Alexander is a landscape architect, and Linda Jones is a professional gardener and urban farmer. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Anissa calling from Annapolis. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I've pretty much given up because the weeds have taken over. I have a townhome, and what I'm considering is resodding the back. And in the front, a neighbor of mine just did nothing but rocks. So my question is, if I resod, do I have to dig up anything, or can I just put the sod on top of the weeded mess that's already there and just make sure everything's hydrated?
So I'll take that question. So I would say if you're going to install sod, you definitely want to find a contractor that can help you with that and that will take up what's there. Because the issue with sod is that if it's not well installed and it's not set correctly, it won't take, and you'll just get rolls of brown grass. I would definitely hire a landscape contractor to come help take care of that job. And one of the things that you want to make sure that they do is once they've taken up what's there, they kind of decompact the soil underneath what the existing lawn is so that you get good drainage under that sod. But I wish you the best of luck with that.
Oh, this is horrible. I'm really
Oh, no.
My neighbor did rocks, and the curb appeal is terrible, but she doesn't have to deal with grass anymore. I'm considering that.
Well, she will have to deal with weeds. I have to tell you, there's no such thing as a no-maintenance landscape, and even pea gravel, she may feel good about her gravel now, but in a few seasons, I guarantee you she'll have weeds coming out of that gravel.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah, call the Homeowners Association on her. No. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. Anissa, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Jason, calling from Northwest. Thanks for calling, Jason. What's on your mind?
Hi. I live in Northwest, and I got grass. And I have a lot of bald spots, and I was just wondering from your guests, what can be done to maintain those bald spots? I've tried everything that I could to put sod down. I've tried to use soja grass as a replacement, but nothing seems to work. What would your suggestion be?
So what is zoysia? First of all,
I don't know. I haven't heard of it.
Zoysia is a type of grass. It grows. It's a very thick grass, and it's they have that in certain sections of the city of D.C. And it's it grows really wild, kind of sort of grass. It's a very strong grass, but here the tip of my heel is facing the sun. And because of that, there are bald spots on that heel. And I've tried several times to correct that, to replace grass or to use sod even. But that never, nothing seems to work. So,
Linda?
To answer your question, is a very strong type of grass that's used in certain portions of D.C., mainly in the upper northwest section.
And it's a wide blade grass, isn't it?
It might be because is your heel, you get a lot of drainage on your heel? Is it down or down? I mean, is a slopey heel, is a real steep heel?
Yeah, that was
going
to be my question.
It's not really slopey. It's sort of, I guess it is in a kind of way. But it's not a really tall heel. It's sort of, I'd say, maybe in height about 5 to 6 feet.
It may be what's going on underneath the ground. It may not be holding on to enough water to keep it, green. But besides putting some extra fertilizer on it, which might be overdoing it, it's probably still going to wash away. It might be what's going on under your grass that's causing it to just dry out so quickly and leave the spots.
Well, what should I have a landscaper come out and look at it to see, if that's the case, or what should I do?
Sometimes you could put you a little flower bed in there, a wildflower bed, and just let it go. Because what you're going to end up having is the brown spots all the time. If you get some drought-tolerant wildflowers and put them in there as a little flower bed, that might make it look better.
Well, we tried that. That didn't work either. It's sort of seems like whatever you do doesn't seem to work. I don't know.
Let me, Jason, see if Danny wanted to add something, because I want to grab some other calls. Did you have any other thoughts?
I mean, I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but I always recommend, again, if you've got an issue, do a soil test, because maybe there's, a kind of pH pocket right there that's not happy. So, you can find them on Amazon, really cheap at-home soil tests. And then if things are really complicated, you can send soil samples to Virginia Cooperative Extension.
Okay. Jason, good luck to you. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So before I go back to the phone lines, I've got some questions about my lawn, which is probably an issue that a lot of people have. I have a lot of direct sun in the morning, and as the sun moves over, I get less in the backyard. So, and I live on a slight hill. So do I plant, is it fescue all the way around, no matter how much sun I get or how little?
Well, I would say generally in my experience, you do a mix of grass seeds so that you have warm and cool season grasses. And there's you can get good grass blends at your local nursery that are suited for this area. Because
blended, how? Blended with fescue and...
So it's, it'll be a blend of fescue and rye and things like that. Because what happens is since the, you know, there are times where we have like a lot of sun, like you said, the climate in the spring, summer, fall, like very extreme here. It's good to have a mix of seeds in that mix so that you always have a generally good cover.
Mm-hmm. And with the rye, I can also use that to make whiskey if I just a thought. Just a thought. Also, I have it. I have in the backyard, I have a brick patio, and every year weeds grow through and little moss. I prefer that it just be none of that. What do I do about the, I know Linda's going to say pull the weeds, but what about the moss? It's not pretty.
Power wash it.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. You could power wash it off. The other thing is you might want to, once you've power washed it, make sure that your joints are well covered, whether they're mortared joints between the bricks or sand joints.
Neither. They're just pressed up against each other.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I bought it like that, so.
Mm-hmm. There's a sealant you can use to put in there. You can get it from Home Depot. It's not concrete, mm-hmm. but it's in between concrete and sand.
Mm-hmm.
It's a filler. It'll go in there to seal the joints.
Hmm. Okay, sounds good. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Carol calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling, Carol. What's on your mind?
Hi, I have a front yard that's exposed to the morning sun, and it has a mixture of crabgrass, weed, and whatever other kind of grass that managed to survive the rest of these boys. But anyway, I just pulled up what looks like a patch of, it's about 10 inches tall, and this is just for this season. It just popped up about 2 weeks ago. Or a week ago. 10 inches tall, little white flowers at the end, and it grows in patches, and it's covering almost all of the lawn. And it looks like either chamomile or chives or something like that. I know it's got to be a weed, but where the heck? It wasn't here last year, but it all of a sudden is here. I am contacting a landscaper. But and then I just don't. First of all, this program has been excellent. I've taken notes.
Well, let's see what Linda has to say about your chamomile and chives and your other.
It seems like what you're describing is, I think it's German chamomile. Is it yellow? A little bit of yellow to it, or just straight white? It's like a little daisy flower?
White.
Huh.
Little tiny white flowers and skinny green foliage around the long stem.
That is I would have to see a picture of that.
Well, and since we don't have a picture, right. What can we do about her getting rid of these things?
I would mow the lawn down as low as you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. Put your normal, whatever you use for fertilizer or something that would cut back on the weeds, something organic if you have it, and aerate it. And that should get some air down there to kind of kill off those weeds. It sounds like chamomile, but I can't be certain. But that's what it sounds like because I have those as well. But it's not taking over the lawn. It's in certain spots, and I just let it be.
Hmm.
And you've never had it before?
No, I never had it before. And it's almost like some seeds blew from somewhere in heaven and all this stuff.
Well, that was going to be my question is, do you see it in any of your neighbors' lawns? I would be wondering, trying to see where it came from, but I have no idea what it is.
Hmm. And sometimes if you have a disturbance in your yard, did you move a tree or something, or did you dig up anything that was kind of giving it shade or taking the sun away?
No. No, no, not in the front yard. In the backyard, I did have a tree removed, but not in the front yard.
Okay.
But cutting it down was what I was planning to do. But then, you know, I was going to use, and I, you know, I know you guys are ecologically savvy, but I was going to use Weed Be Gone. But then I thought I wouldn't have any grass left if I put that on there.
I would just cut it low and use an organic fertilizer to try to not have it come back.
Okay. Well, Carol, okay. Good luck to you, and thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us, Kim and Charles. We're going to talk to you in just a few seconds. I want to talk a little bit about fruits, vegetables and the like, and herbs as well, since you are the edible growth specialist here, Linda. Let's first talk about herbs. I grow mine outside because I can't grow them in my kitchen. I don't have a lot of light, and I really would like to be able to do that. So short of being able to do that, what are the easiest herbs to grow outside on the back porch or on the front porch where there is some sun?
Basil is the easiest.
Why is that?
And the fastest growing because it's hot weather. It's a hot weather herb, and it just flourishes.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really kill it unless you overwater it. And with basil, you can also plant, parsley, which is sort of easy to grow, but it takes a while to get established. Cilantro grows well. So does rosemary. Rosemary is one of the herbs that you need to get a transplant. Growing it from seed is kind of problematic. Lemongrass also is a very good herb to have in your garden. And you would also probably want to consider using a transplant for that one as well, because it doesn't grow as fast from seed. But if you put any herb in your garden, basil would be the number one pick, mm-hmm. because there are so many things you can do with it.
What about pots? I don't have a lot of room. And what kind of soil would you recommend?
A good organic potting soil.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use leaf grow, a good compost mixture. Herbs don't like a lot of water. Very kind of carefree. And you don't need to do a lot of fertilizing either.
Mm-hmm.
So you plant them, water them, let them get established, and they'll probably do well without you doing anything extra except for maybe monitoring water when it gets extremely hot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything you want to share, Danny?
No, the one thing I guess about basil is the more you harvest it and the more you cut it, so the more you're cooking, the more it's going to grow. Actually, it really causes it to flourish even more.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kim, calling from Upper Marlboro. Kim, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
I have a lot of tunnels and holes in my backyard due to mold. How do we get rid of them?
Mold or moles?
Mold.
Oh, M-O-L-E-S.
Yes.
Moles. Okay. Animals.
Yes.
Ah.
That dig on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Ladies?
I'm not sure. I think you're going to have to call pest control.
No.
I'm sorry. I haven't come across that other than in the movie Caddyshack.
Right, exactly.
I have a problem like that. And the thing about the moles is you need to get rid of them, the moles and the voles, as soon as you can, because what happens is snakes like to chase them underground. So you may want to try to get something to eradicate that issue so that you won't have any little snakes around your property, because they feed on them.
And I, the other problem, and I've seen this happen, after you are sure that you've gotten rid of them, what do you do about the tunnels? Because unfortunately, people have had occasion to step and hurt themselves,
exactly.
Twisting an ankle and the like. So do you fill that back in, or
fill it in and get? They have these little roller things that you can pack dirt down, soil down, so compact it down. Or you can just walk around or get a bucket or something with the dirt and put it in and just squish it down. But sometimes the tunnels are long.
Yeah.
So if you just put a pile of soil and rake it over and then kind of compact it down, that'll close the holes off. But you want to put, there are some organic essential oils that you can use for molds. I think it's clove oil. I've used it, and they don't like the smell of that. And there's some other things that they don't like the smell of, but I use that to try to control them. And then there are other things, too, but you would have to really research what is most effective for what you have, because it might be something else. But for moles and voles, I've used successfully clove oil.
I see. Kim, good luck to you. Thank you so much. What about bugs? And I don't mean the bees and the butterflies, but you know, bugs that may be problematic for your lawn. What kind of bugs are problematic for the lawn, and how do you get rid of them?
Well, you know, I actually get more questions about mosquitoes. Just, you know, what should I be planting? I don't want mosquitoes here. They drive me crazy. I want to enjoy being in my backyard. And there are a lot of perennials that kind of keep the mosquitoes a little bit more at bay. And actually, clove oil is repellent to mosquitoes. But planting citronella, lemongrass, lavender, and things like geranium actually tend to help keep mosquitoes away.
What about other bugs, little weevils or the potato bugs or any of the other bugs that may be problematic for a lawn?
For a lawn, there's a... What's that, basilicum? It's a powder. It escapes me.
Lime?
No, it's a white powder, but it takes a while to take. For Japanese beetles, for instance.
Oh.
I can't remember the proper name for it, but I can't think of the name.
Do you have any idea for example, Japanese beetles, what to do about them, Danny?
No, I'm not sure. I mean, it's something that when you have a pest problem, there are a couple different ways to identify it, and you want to bring your damaged plants to your landscaper so that they can give you the exact right product, because each insect requires a really specific treatment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Charles, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Charles. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I know you have two professional females then, but sometimes you just have to go old school. And I'm up Home Depot every spring throughout the end of the summer. Just go to Home Depot, rent you a tilling machine for the weeds, till the yard up, and see what kind of soil you're working with from there, and get you a rake all the weeds out, and just reseed. You got the month of April, it's right here. Through the rain and then the sun you have in June, July, you'll have your nice yard.
Well, and a tilling machine, obviously, it'll tear up the yard and it will aerate at the same time. And so for those of you who are trying to start over, you know, certainly. But I would imagine that even when you have all of that freshly tilled ground, that you need to work on it immediately so that you don't get more weeds and seeds and those kinds of things, correct?
Yes, because there's pros and cons against that, because once you till, what you're doing as well as aerating, you're also unearthing seeds that have been underground for years, and you may have more weeds than you had initially, but it is getting air down there. So you need to suffocate whatever you have that might come back so that you won't have the same problem.
Well, and without completely tilling your lawn, you can also go to Home Depot and rent something that is just going to roll and aerate. Mm-hmm. So you can take it one step back.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, Charles, thank you so much. Now, what about mulch? Red mulch, black mulch? Tomato, potato. What does mulch do, and what do you recommend? How do you go about buying mulch around, say, your shrub?
So I always go for a decomposed leaf mulch, because what mulch should really be doing is adding organics to your soil so that your plants really thrive. a lot of what you see, those red mulches and, you know, really chunky mulches, they're not breaking down. What they're doing is they are covering the soil to hopefully prevent weeds from coming up, but they're not actually helping your plants. So mm-hmm. I always go for a good decomposed leaf mulch. If you smell it, it should smell sweet.
Where do you get decomposed leaf mulch?
You can get that at Home Depot, too. You get it all. They've, you know, Home Depot, or I generally recommend going to a nursery where they really specialize in these products.
Okay. Is it expensive? More expensive than your red or your black pine mulch?
It might be slightly more expensive because it is a more sensitive material. It breaks down more quickly.
Mm-hmm. So now let's talk a little bit about fertilizer. Unless you have a big enough yard where you have your own cows or oxen, how do you fertilize? What's the best fertilizer for a lawn? Organic or otherwise?
Well, so there are a number of types of fertilizers that can be mixed in with your water as you are treating the lawn. I'm not really a specialist in fertilizers, but I also tend to go with the organics. At the workshop tomorrow, there's going to be somebody demonstrating composting methods so that you can make your own lawn fertilizers and things
from,
like that. From your food waste.
Really?
And your lawn waste and things like that, yeah.
Oh, okay. And lawns need more nitrogen. The greener, mm-hmm. the nitrogen greens it. And if it's a balanced fertilizer, then you will get your nutrients from your ground through your roots and to your blades. So look for something that's a little bit balanced.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit quickly about growing fruits and vegetables because, you know, Linda, you are an urban farmer, and so I would imagine people who grow fruits and vegetables in the city obviously don't have a lot of room. What are the best fruits or vegetables for small spaces? What do you recommend?
Berry bushes, raspberry, blueberry, strawberry, and you can also your tomatoes, the things that you don't have to spend a lot of time working on. But when you get your berries, you have to get two so you can make sure they are getting pollinated properly.
Say that again now?
When you get your berry bushes, make sure you're getting two because some of them need to be pollinated. You need two to help each other out.
Like a male-female kind of thing?
That's how it works in nature, yeah.
I'm going to have to watch my berry bushes a little more closely.
Yeah, they might be up to something.
They just might be.
But, you know, tomatoes, you find a good combination with your tomatoes, with your basil that we talked about earlier. All vegetables, they need some type of companion to keep the bad bugs away. So marigolds, you don't eat them, but they keep the bugs away. Plant your tomatoes with your basil and your marigolds, and you have a good companion planting scenario there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people grow beans. They grow the peas. They grow... Not a lot of people grow corn in a home garden because...
It takes up a lot. It's a lot of room. And my grandmother used to do that. And mm-hmm. she, you know, lived yeah. over here in Southeast off of East Capitol Street. Mm-hmm. And I must say, you know, after you got to about the 10th stalk, it mm-hmm. started to take over
oh,
the
yeah.
yard.
It does.
But, and I think, is there any special way for room, and this is the thing I'm really concerned about, mm-hmm. if you don't have room, say for a lot of room, if you have a backyard like I do, for example, how do you keep the squirrels and the opossums and the raccoons and the deer and the like off of your fruits and vegetables if you're growing them in your backyard?
I would have them all in a same area, and you can use chicken wire to kind of make you a little...
Cover something.
To keep them out around the sides. And if it's up against a fence, it's even better because you only have to, like, worry about the front and the side.
Mm-hmm.
And it works.
We talked a lot about dues from both of you to make sure that you have a decent lawn, something simple. And no medical degree operations here. Because like I said, you know, a lot of people are working and they may be weekend warriors or one day weekend warriors. Saturday, like, you know, Charles, he's going to till his yard on Saturday and may be too tired to get back to it for another 2 or 3 weeks. I know I would be. I'm not going back out there. So, some don'ts just to have a nice lawn. Fescue, that's a do. I already have that in mind. No Bermuda grass and no Zoya. No Kentucky bluegrass or anything like that. None of the southern grasses. But what else should we be wary of?
Well, I would say going beyond the lawn a little bit and into your garden. A big don't that I would say is don't go to Home Depot or the nursery and pick out one of everything you love. Like, keep it really simple. Mm-hmm. Choose your, you know, one of your favorites, two of your favorites, and have a really nice, clean organization to your lawn. It'll make it a lot easier to maintain. And the simplicity, that's where you'll find the beauty. You'll have the, you know, something to appreciate.
Okay. And get you some color in there. Cosmo and zinnias are one of those flowers that should be in everybody's garden. They bring in the butterflies, they bring in the bees, and they bring in the beauty. So to beautify your garden, keep it simple, carefree. You don't need to do a lot with these two plants. Put them in your vegetable garden, keep them in your flower garden in the front in a pot. You name it, they go a lot of places, and they work wonders to make simplicity the star of your show.
Real quick, what should I have these concrete pots mm-hmm. in the front, mm-hmm. and they're probably about, at the deepest, maybe 15 inches deep, and they also have holes in mm-hmm. the bottom. What can I, if I put soil in, what can I plant once that'll come back every year that'll look pretty?
Seed them.
Seeds.
Sedum. It's an autumn joy sedum. It's a plant that grows about 3 feet, comes back every year. It will fill your pot up, get you some little ground cover at the bottom, any type of ground cover like Creeping Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
It's a yellow plant.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back every year. Mix that with your autumn joy. You get bees, butterflies, all kinds of insects coming in.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Butterflies, I'll take. The bees, not so much. But
well, they're helpers.
Yeah, and they're stingers. But that's another conversation.
They won't bother you.
Yeah, let us certainly hope not. Danny Alexander and Linda Jones, thank you so much for adding a little green to our thumbs tonight. I really appreciate it. And the information that we've discussed tonight on the program will be on our website on WHUR.com. After 9 o'clock. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 for this Friday, April 5th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.